Genuinely, there was one time where I was working from home and I like chimed in and said some real jokes, but then it was just it muted all the laughter, so I could see people laughing at my joke, and I was like, this is the worst gig I've ever done. Like, hi, listeners, you're very welcome to the Odd Jobs podcast.
All right, this is just a pre-recorded bit, so if you are if the
Yeah,
sound is
we're
sounding a
not
bit
being,
weird.
yeah. We're just not together at the moment, but we'll be reunited soon.
Yes. But we just want to introduce into this podcast. This is a great episode. Very much a
A 10 out of 10.
different vibe from like previous episodes, I find. This one, our guest this week is
Yeah.
Emily Bampton,
Woo-woo!
who is
Emily. The most, I would say, business-minded. I would say we're edging into Diary of a CEO territories with this podcast.
we really
Emily is
are.
not here to fuck around. She's here to make money
So
and
much
take
so
names.
that while we were recording the episode, she
Oh, yeah. She became
you'll
our
hear it.
business manager. Yeah.
You'll There's a little spoiler, but basically we've been strong-armed by the wonderful Emily Bampton to create a paid a paid tier on our Patreon account
Yeah.
because she was like, I'm only going to tell you this if you put it behind a paywall and make some money. I
She
was
started
like,
negotiating mid-podcast. She started brokering a business deal mid-podcast. But yeah, so now we have a paid Patreon. It's £3 a month, basically nothing, less than a coffee, less than a meal deal, less than anything. But for the price of £3 a month, you will be getting now bonus extra content. You already get tea break if you sign up to our Patreon. That's free, baby,
Cute.
because we are socialists at heart. But Emily, in the capitalist world that we live in, has reminded us that we need to generate profit and also keep some stories are so spicy, they have to stay behind a paywall. Honestly, probably for legal reasons. It is one hell of a story. I'm not gonna lie, it is spicy beyond spice. So I would recommend signing up.
Yes, so you can sign up for that, which we highly recommend we do. We also there's we're gonna hopefully be putting well we are going to be putting more content behind that then. If people sign up,
Yeah.
we're gonna give them what they've paid for.
Yeah.
Just to let you know that that will be released on Friday.
Ruby doesn't know, but I've got the Patreon login, so I'm just gonna start logging in and chatting shit, just posting up spicy hot takes up there. So you guys stay on. I'm officially unemployed, lads, as of 2 days ago. So I've got time in the world and I've got opinions to share. So you sign up to that Patreon.
Oh shit. Oh shit, it's about to go down.
Yeah, Ruby's genuinely pat. I love that Ruby's like, ha, but slightly worried that I'm not joking.
Right. No, but that's gonna go up on Fridays. Also, little update, we're moving our tea breaks to be uploaded on the Wednesday.
Yes,
Just so that then it
Wednesday,
wasn't
baby.
like double loaded and the feed was messy. So
Yeah.
we're this is again me going, ah, okay, I'll do this now. So
We're figuring it out.
Tea break will be uploaded tomorrow now. And then what else do we? Oh my God, we always forget. It's our show. We're doing a show.
We have a show. We have a show. We have a show. We have a show. Double bill preview. Ruby and Kat together at the
Yes.
Rosie Ranch Theatre on Wednesday, the 26th. I always
Correct.
get the date wrong, but I know the day. The 26th of November, 7 or 7:30 p.m.
7:30.
7:30 p.m. It's me and Ruby doing our new shows. Come on down.
It's going to be really good. It's going to be a wonderful
It's going
day,
to be very
wonderful
good. It's going
night.
to be really fun. It's going to be a good old time.
Get your
So,
tickets for that,
yes,
sign up
right.
to our Patreon, and now listen to the
Bye.
podcast. Bye.
I'm going to be professional for the
Yeah.
podcast. I got this tie from the Jumble Trail in Walthamstow.
Nice.
I got this shirt from the Jumble Trail in Walthamstow. And I got this skirt custom made in Vietnam. It's its first outing.
Way. Oh my
Yeah.
God, yeah, because you were recently in
I
Vietnam,
was.
weren't you?
I
And
was.
you went a good, I don't know, what, minute and a half without mentioning
I know.
that.
My earrings and shoes are also from Hoi
Yeah.
An.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
How was Vietnam?
It was lovely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. There were some dramatic things.
There was, apart from the tsunami and the
There was a tsunami
and the light concussion and the E. coli.
Yeah,
it was. Was great.
The concussion related to the tsunami?
It was actually a typhoon. I misspoke.
Okay.
Do I know what the difference is? Do I fuck?
But you were in Vietnam.
I was in Vietnam. It was a typhoon.
We're off to a great start.
And it just meant that there was a lot of rain. And the one at Hanoi, which is in the top.
Yes.
We were meant to be flying to and we didn't. So we had to move our flights around. We ended up spending a lot more money.
Okay.
Whoopsie.
Oh, no. Did I come back with £40 in my bank account? Yes, I did.
Yeah.
This is paid, by the way.
There you go.
It's great to have you on.
Speaking of jobs.
Speaking of the exchange of labour for money.
Emily Bampton, welcome to the Odd Jobs Podcast.
Thank you, Emily. Oh my God, what? Emily Bampton, is that the comedian?
Comedian, the writer.
The improv star.
Performer at multiple festivals, including Latitude and Mike the Hoopla.
Founder, runner,
promoter, producer,
and MC of the hugely successful Comedy in Ruins.
Comedy in Ruins. Welcome to the podcast, Emily Bampton.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for coming on. Genuinely, so delightful to have you here.
I'm so grateful.
I feel like we should dress up the top. Emily, who do you live with?
Louis Key and Ruby Carr.
Ruby Carr!
Yeah, this booking was going to the door opposite my bedroom door going, knock, knock.
And that happened yesterday.
Yesterday. Because Catherine screwed up. She did not book the guest she was supposed to book.
We also wanted you on the podcast anyway.
Anyway, you were coming on this podcast regardless.
But this is nepotism.
This is genuinely you doing us a massive favour. But also, I do want to be on your gig. So if we could trust us. Exchange
See,
of labour.
My gig is paid.
Emily, we're
damn
not
it.
Being paid yet for the podcast. Yeah.
No one, if it makes yet. You better, no one's being paid yet. We are working on some sponsorships. Yeah. They're in the pipeline. Yeah. We're talking to a bunch of different people.
But you had your podcast. No, not your podcast. You had your show
I
last
don't have
night.
A podcast.
When as of recording, you had your show last night.
Yes.
And it went really well, as you told me in the kitchen at midnight.
I was quite drunk. Wasn't I? I was pretty drunk.
That's not the drunkest you've come back.
No.
You were just happy because you had a lovely time.
I had such a lovely time. It was, our October show and we had loads of amazing people on and I do a thing called Emily Ruins Your Life.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
I get audience submissions on little bits of paper of problems and gossip. And then solve their problems for like half an hour during the middle of the show.
Oh my God, I love that.
So fun.
It's and really
what
good.
What were the problems last night?
So,
the gossip?
I guess I can say this. Yeah, no, it's fine. I can say this. There was a woman who is training to be a family therapist.
Right.
And somebody else on her course is cheating on their husband.
I'm obsessed
with multiple other people.
Wait,
and
what?
She uses this the person who came to my gig, my audience member,
yeah,
as her alibi.
No.
When she's cheating, and they're not even close friends. They literally just met on this course.
But wait, does cheater?
Yeah,
is using
audience member
as an excuse. Did the cheater tell audience member, I'm using you as an excuse?
Oh my God.
No way.
What was the advice that you gave?
Oh, the advice I gave was to... So initially, I gave the advice was to write a letter to the husband.
Right,
anonymously.
Yeah. Hey, girly.
Yeah, hey, girly, but on paper, retro, quill.
Yeah.
And then send it out to him so he knows, but she's not directly. Because I feel like there's a bit of a... I think it's one thing if you're just hearing that somebody's cheating, but if you're hearing that somebody's cheating... and that they are involving you in the lie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When she's never met the husband before.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh yeah, this girl at my course, I'm really
How does he
with
not
her.
Know she's cheating with audience member?
Well, that's true. And how do I not know that?
Audience member, get yourself in here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And please, let's welcome in.
No, but wait, multiple people. So she doesn't, they don't know each other well. And she's just like, by the way, I'm shagging loads of different people. And I'm telling my husband I'm with you.
That's what's happening. So I said.
And this person is true. Do you know what? I actually disagree. I think she needs to report her to whoever's running this course and be like, you cannot let this person be a therapist.
And then there's that, right?
Right.
So she's just like.
Whatever about her husband, God love him, but like, we have a duty of care.
Yeah.
Evil people also need a therapist occasionally.
Yeah, but you don't need the evil person to be the therapist.
But yeah, it would be one thing, Ruby, if you could filter on like psychology.com by evil.
Yeah.
But they don't have that yet.
Yeah.
And that is the market we're going
to
branch into.
And that is, and dragons, that is what I'm here to pitch today.
We will get you paid from this podcast. Just not with a fee, an appearance fee.
Yeah.
You said that was your original advice.
Okay, so that was my original advice. Yeah. And then I have, because it's a very good, very funny night that you should come to.
Yes.
I have lots of regulars. So there's lots of like ongoing stories and lore.
Oh,
and
wow.
Stuff for the night. And so I could see one of my regulars was like, I have an idea. So I was like, please tell me, my love. And he was like, what you should not be having your name invoked if you are not getting paid. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, do the letter, but to her, blackmail.
Yes. Yeah, actually.
Let's cut some
what are you getting out of this?
Letters out.
Yeah.
And be like, look, the cheater is, how? Come on.
That's crazy.
Just giving out ammo.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, and she's, you know, this woman's training to be a therapist. She's probably not going to make that much money. She's at university. We all need revenue streams.
Yeah.
As well. Sure, we're about to come on.
I was about to say. We're actually on the Odd Jobs podcast. Odd job number one,
odd job
blackmail.
Blackmail,
extortion.
Blackmail,
why not?
Yeah.
I love it. Well, speaking of, as we say, this podcast is where we sort of chat about all the jobs that you've done to lead to the very glamorous job of being the wonderful comedian, writer, and improviser that you are. In that vein, Emily, tell us, what was your, like, the very first way that you ever earned money?
Okay.
Like, your first ever hustle?
Yes. So, you don't know me as well as Ruby.
No.
But
the whole midnight kitchen thing.
We have not yet had the chance.
No.
But you can come to the kitchen at any time. Oh, thanks. I love money. And I have loved money since conception.
Okay.
I have always been about saving money, gaining money. I've always been like, oh my God, I need to have a job. So I had like, over the course of my childhood, like probably about 8 different business ventures.
Great.
But there's like, and like some of them were like babysitting and, you know, stuff. But actual like commerce that I invoked from a young age.
We're using words like commerce. Give me one sec. Commerce. Say that again there. Commerce.
Also, do you not see this tie?
Do you not see this fucking
tie? I should have known. Commerce. Okay, go on. What age were you using the word commerce?
Probably about 4.
Okay.
I was like, I need to make money. I simply must. So the first thing
I simply must.
I need to be independent. I was one of those kids who, when I got upset, I'd be like, everything's going in the rucksack, in the backpack, and I am leaving.
Oh,
and would like
walk down
to the end of the drive and then burst into tears, and then my mom would come and get me.
Right.
And you were putting in there your debit card, your credit card.
Yeah, exactly. My blackmail kit.
Your piggy bank. Yeah. I used to run away and no one would notice.
Oh my God. Well, that's quite a big family. So.
They were big enough.
She ran away, got her little tray, went down the slide.
They were all just like, oh, thank God, a bit of moment of fucking peace. Like,
she's well surveilled at the pond.
Ran away to the neighbor's house and spent the entire day there and then came back and mum was like, I was like, you didn't come look for me. Mum was like, sorry, where, what?
Did somebody else feed you? Amazing.
I'm guessing that's the McGinns.
Yes, the McGinns. Yeah.
Shout out to Lorna if she's listening.
Shout out to Lorna. You saved me every time I ran away.
Okay, so your commerce when you're 4 years old.
My commerce when I was 4 years old was, you know, it was baby's first commerce. So I got my like little plastic kiddo chair and table.
Right. And just, like a Fisher Pie care.
I know the word commerce, don't know the word table. If you got big words. words like commerce up here, you just lose things like table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's only so much space. so I had, yeah, my table chair, and I would sell like all of my old toys and stuff outside the house.
Oh, so you were doing like a yard sale.
Yeah, like yard sale thing, and like a piggy bank there, and I'd have all my piggy bank money as change and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to make so much money from this. My parents would not let me go anywhere apart from outside the house because I was like 4 or 5.
Yeah, no, fair.
But I lived at the end of a cul-de-sac.
Okay.
So like not a lot of passing trade.
No, okay, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Wait, so at 4 or 5, you were selling your toys?
Yeah, like old toys, like shit ones.
Also, but you also, don't you have a younger brother?
Yeah.
I thought normally things get
I was going to say, he wasn't getting inheriting.
I'm pretty sure I would raid his unused toys as well.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and why not?
Them, and take them out and be and like get him to help me probably.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And were you paying for his labor?
Almost certainly.
No. So you early doors were like hustling around on the streets.
I just wanted money. I don't know. It's so for
like for any like
I just wanted to do you remember going to Toys R Us as a kid?
Yeah. And Smith's, but yeah.
Yeah, and like seeing all of the like I always wanted a house or a home or a car. You know, the cars that they would have and stuff. And I'd be like, I always wanted a treehouse in the back
garden. For a second, that was really tragic. I was like, a house, a home, a car. I was like, oh God, Emily grew up in a very underwhelming cul-de-sac.
Really.
The cul-de-sac had one image. I wanted a home. I wanted a house.
It was a rough cul-de-sac in North Oxford.
Sounds like
it was a very rough cul-de-sac in North Oxford.
I was going to say, the cul-de-sac in the hood, right?
Yes. No.
But
village.
The little plastic cars.
You wanted like a house.
Yeah,
yes.
I wanted like a tree house that I had like, I think I just really wanted to be a grown up. Like I wanted one of those cars. I wanted all the cool, I just wanted to be able to like get whatever I wanted. And I distinctly remember a conversation my dad had with me and he was probably just like, I'll just say that. Do you know when your parents like stuff sticks with you?
Yeah.
I remember we were walking the dog and he was just like oversharing a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
And was kind of like, oh, you know, I used to save 20% of my salary, you know, and then I met your mum and things got expensive. Like it was my mum's fault. Her and her bags. Her and her shoes.
Her and her procreating. Yeah. That was all her.
Her and her procreating.
That was all her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So when you didn't have a wife and children to support, you saved 20%.
Yeah, he saved more money. He was like, oh, when I met your mother, like, you know, I stopped doing that and I wish I'd continued. And that planted a seed in me where I was like, I'm going to save not 20%, but over half my salary. And I did up until a few years ago, was able to do that.
What?
Yeah. I'm like insane.
Because Emily's only mentioned one
of the three
of the businesses.
Yeah.
And I know of Emily's mum told me about one of her other businesses.
Okay, wait, tell me about the rest.
The next thing was in primary school, probably around like year 4 or 5.
What age are we at 4 or 5?
You're like 9, 10.
Okay.
And Build-A-Bear was a huge thing.
It was.
It was massive. They had all the girlies.
So expensive.
And so expensive.
Okay. For a saver, I can imagine, I can clearly see it's hit a nerve.
Yes.
Oh, it didn't hit
I didn't want a Build-A-Bear. I wanted to make money from the bitches who were buying Build-A-Bears.
Okay.
So I started sewing Build-A-Bear clothes.
Oh my God,
designing different outfits and taking orders from my classmates and then fulfilling those orders and getting them to pay me for the clothes for like a fraction of the price.
This is genius.
I know.
You're very proud of yourself.
I know.
I'm great.
I was a gifted child. And I would like drag my mum to like, I'd be like, we need to go fabric shopping and get sequins and all of this stuff. And she'd like help me sew.
So wait, when you say they give you orders, were they like drawing out pictures of like.
No, so I'd be like, I'd make samples and I'd take them into the playground and be like, this is what
How could you sew at 8 or 9?
I was pretty good at hand sewing and my mum was like teaching me how to use a sewing machine and stuff.
Because of a hobby or for the sole purpose of.
For the sole purpose of that.
Oh my God.
I don't know how to sew now because I stopped doing it.
You can only do dimensions of like 3 inches by 3 inches.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say.
Yeah, I had tiny little
To be fair, hands. How much sewing is involved?
Yeah.
So you were, and how much were you charging people?
I don't remember, but probably, I would say probably half of what the Build-A-Bear clothes were being.
Yeah, but that's still a good
loads,
amount.
Loads of money. Loads of fucking money.
Oh my God.
I'm like, did you 20, you know, 2007?
Yeah.
How we're saying those years now.
2007. You really have a very, it would seem like, advanced skills in commerce, as you said, but and business. And
vocabulary.
Then, I was going to say, it's absolutely awful. It really seems to have impacted your childhood. You were at school to try and make a living.
I was just like, yeah, how can I swindle these bitches?
Yeah.
What are you saying? Spelling, grammar, no
I'll see you later.
You.
Yeah, Emily
2007. That's the year was.
It was 2007, but everybody keeps saying, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Emily's not actually dyslexic. She's a businessman.
Business lady. And if you put your brain has too much business in it, all the words fall out.
Right. So wait, you were doing the build. How long did, and how big did it grow? Because I remember, like, when I was in school, there was a lad who, and I'm older than you.
For the record.
But this will come in, is that his thing was ripping, like, making CDs.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because, like, it was that thing of, like, he'd obviously buy, I don't know. I remember getting an Avril Lavigne single / possibly album. I doubt it was an album. I feel like she exclusively released singles. But he would, like, obviously copy it somehow on his computer, and then he would sell it to me and stuff. And that was, like, legit. Like, he did it for the whole school. Like, he was, he genuinely was probably making money. Like, how big did the Build-A-Bear go? Was it like a handful of people, or was it like, were you getting orders across
the
board?
It was most of the girls in my class.
Wow.
Probably.
And did the Build-A-Bear lawyers come for you?
No, I kept it pretty low key. It was like
no copyright issues.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And I actually have a third commerce thing to
many.
Oh my God. Right, we're only on question one. And we've
I'm so sorry.
We haven't even broken double digits yet of your age, and we're already two jobs in.
Okay, we're just going to break double digits.
Okay, great.
So this is probably around like 11 years old, first year of secondary school.
Yeah.
And I became obsessed with selling cupcakes.
Okay. Yeah.
And
I love how everything's always like obsessed with selling it. Did you get into baking and then want to commerce that?
I don't think so. I think what would happen is I would see either something that people were enjoying or somebody else selling something and be like, I want to do that.
Right. Okay.
Because I want to make money.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Yeah. I would get up with my mum at 5 a.m. every Saturday.
Yeah.
And
5 a.m.?
Yes.
Does your mum naturally get up at 5 a.m.?
She is a morning person, but I will never love anybody as much as she loves me, because there was absolutely no way.
I mean, it sounds banana. So you were the one at 11 years of age. You were like, 5 a.m. tomorrow, let's go.
I think it was more that I was like, I had arranged with the local shopkeeper, Carl.
Shout out Carl.
No longer in the village, but has moved, I believe, down south to Cornwall or something.
Oh,
I hope he's doing well.
Lovely.
Him and his wife, Katie, were lovely.
Well, great. So you had somehow at 11 years of age struck up a deal.
I had brokered a deal with Carl.
Okay.
Who I knew the corner shop, Carl's Corner Shop,
yeah,
was already selling freshly baked bread.
Okay.
From an actual bakery with adults.
As
in
they
it.
Generally, yeah.
Yeah.
Tend to be.
And I was like, I can make cupcakes. So okay, what I'll do is I'll get up on a Saturday and I'll make like a couple dozen cupcakes and I'll sell them to Carl and he'll sell them in the shop.
Jesus.
But obviously you had to.
Could you not make them the night before? The 5 a.m. is a real stickler for me.
Yeah, it's wild and I can't believe I did it.
But that is what bakers do.
Bakers do.
I think I was being professional. I was like, it needs to get there the same time as the bread does, and it needs to get there for when he opens, and he probably opened at like, I don't know, 7 or something in the morning. So
Mother
I need to make
God.
It and then take it over. Yeah.
And how professional were these? Because, like,
to be
we've
fair,
all seen cupcakes kids make. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not being funny. But
are you putting a smarty on top?
It's a little bit of runny icing or a little bit of, smarties. Talk me through. And how much were we charging for these cupcakes?
I'm obviously in it for the money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was nothing if not thorough.
Right.
I used to go do a little gym class as a kid. I used to do weightlifting. And I remember once...
Sorry, what?
Yeah, I... we simply don't have time.
You just wait. What the fuck is going on in Oxford? What the fuck is going on? They're like, you've got to earn money and you've got to get strong. Like, what?
Winter is coming.
What? What were they preparing you
I
for?
Don't know.
It was whatever it is, she is well prepared.
Yeah, I was going to say, weightlifting at what age?
It was at Brooks University and they were like studying us for something. I don't know what was going on.
No way. Yeah. Oh my God, wait. You were in like, obviously in Oxford, were you part of like academic research or some shit?
I think so.
Yeah.
I like how you're like, I think so. I'm going to say you were. Because none of this shit sounds normal. I'll be honest, Emily.
Yeah, tell us about the cupcakes.
Okay, so the that's fine. But basically, I remember, I have two distinct memories from this time, right, like doing all the cupcake stuff, which is that I bought so many cupcake books and everything, and we were trialing different icings.
Okay.
So I remember bringing two different types of icings in to the weightlifting class, and everybody tried the different cupcakes with a different icing, and they all thought that the one I thought wasn't... my favorite wasn't as good as the other one. I was just absolutely floored. They went for like the classic buttercream and I wanted like a meringue, like whipped thing.
But did you go with the market research?
We went with the market research. Okay. Yeah, obviously.
She's a nothing if not a business
I'm
woman,
nothing
Ruby.
If not a business woman. We didn't do market research this for is a fun.
She's not making the cupcakes for her. No, she's making them for
the
money.
For the people. I did that. And then the other distinct memory I have is that I was just talking about it all the time. I was thinking about it. I was so consumed by it. And just one... like we were having a conversation, I bought up like chocolate icing and my dad was like, can we have one fucking conversation in this house that's not about cupcakes? And then he walked away from me.
There.
I don't think he said fucking, he wouldn't have sworn. But like that was, the tone was,
the man
like,
was, the man was begging.
He was beaten down by the relentless talk of like icing sugar. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And how long did the cupcake thing go on for?
Quite a while.
Like, until your dad was like, I've had enough.
I do think it was weighing on my parents'
and
marriage.
And how much were you making?
Because if you think about it, he probably wasn't getting laid on a Friday night because my mom had to get up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning to help me with baking.
I'll be honest, your dad's getting laid wasn't the immediate thought. What was the problem with Emily's cupcake business? Well, immediately, I wasn't getting any.
Yeah. I like that you... No one's touching John.
Yeah. I don't like to use the term no one there. There's no one. Just someone. But
how much did you roughly make in the cupcakes, you reckon?
Okay, so I think I was probably making like 30 quid a week.
That's a lot of labor for 30
quid. I know.
Quid.
But at the time, you know.
5 a.m.
Things were cheaper.
Yeah, okay, fair.
I didn't
have, wait,
like,
is that profit or is that just revenue?
No, that was profit.
I profit. Think, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
30 quid, yeah,
and they sold out.
Yeah,
they were hot cakes. Obviously, we did not serve them hot because the melt.
Yeah, melted off. Buttercream, yeah.
But yeah,
amazing. Oh my God,
was that okay? Because obviously now you're a performer, comedian,
superstar,
and then you were really focused on businesses. What is it that you wanted to do when you grew up?
Yeah.
I think I had lots of different ideas, but I think the thing I've kind of realized as an adult and looking back at my childhood is I just wanted to like make my own stuff and be in control and make money and like get consumed by a project. So I actually have a really distinct memory, probably somewhere in between the cupcakes and the Build-A-Bear clothes and all of that.
Yeah.
Of watching The Apprentice for the first time.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
And sitting down and watching it and being like, oh my God, I want to do that. I want to be set a task and then just have to make the most money. Like, that sounds so fun.
Right.
And they're like trying to come up with ideas and it's like creative, but it's also logical. And I would just like get so into it. I remember being like, Dad, like, what is this? And he was like, that's business. And I was like, business? And then I wanted to be a businesswoman for quite a while.
Fair. I mean, you were one.
And to be fair, I was one. Yeah, so.
That's bananas. I realize you would have absolutely loved. In Ireland, we have a thing. There's an optional year of school you could do called TY or transition year.
Okay.
And it's because there's the junior cert, which is like your GCSEs, and then the leaving cert curriculum, which is like A-levels. And
yeah.
That's 2 years. But there's an optional fourth year you can do, like post-GCSEs, pre-leaving cert.
Yeah.
Called TY. And it was like relatively new-ish when I was younger, so it wasn't like quite as well structured. But the idea of it is that you, because the leaving cert in Ireland's very academic, especially back then. It was very like you did one exam, you'd study for 2 years, you did one exam that was 3 hours, that was your grade, that was it.
Wow.
And the way you get into university is based off of number, points.
Yeah.
Your name isn't on it, there's no personal statement, there's no interviews, there's no nothing.
Oh, it's literally just grades.
So it was like, oh, this is so academically focused, but we're churning out kids that have like no soft skills, no, yes. They can't interview, they've done whatever.
They can't make cupcakes.
Yeah, they can't make cupcakes. Mm. So the fourth year was basically to be all those things. So obviously it was my favorite year of school because it was all the soft skills that I was incredible at. But in it, they get you to do work experience, right? So like either you have to do it in blocks where like you don't have school for 2 weeks, but you're supposed to be like in a business shadowing someone somewhere, or you could do it like every Monday. You didn't go to school, you went to a business.
Oh.
Or you went to somewhere. I knew you'd love it. But the other thing,
she's wet.
Literally, I'm turning Emily on. You're 15 years of age. You're doing free labor. In your dad's friend's business.
That's exactly what I did for my work experience.
There you go. But in it, they also had a thing called, and I'm trying to remember what it's called, but it was the TY business, what we used to call it. They got you to start your own business. You got in teams with your mates and you like competed against it. So there was competition in it. I'm just realizing now, I'm like, you would have won like the fucking national
Have been the best little and you had to like Irish put together a business plan. Business lady.
You would have loved
oh
it.
Oh my God.
You would have loved it. You and your mates had to like get together and someone had to be like the CEO. Someone was the director of finance, like all of this.
I would have been it all. Baby.
Yeah, just had to cosplay.
You were saying, oh, you do in a team. I was like, Emily wouldn't have had a team.
I would have had minions.
Emily would have had subordinates.
Yeah, I know.
She would have done everything.
You would have loved that.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing. That's literally... If
so
like,
that's
if
what you wanted to be
job,
when you were younger. Like,
yeah, where yeah. you could just like, someone could just set you tasks like that and be like, go make a thing or do with that. And I'd be like, oh.
Dream.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing.
Okay. But obviously you are, well, I mean, you are a businesswoman, you run gigs and stuff like
yes,
this. But you've had many different jobs along the way. So what is, would you say, a job that you've always wanted to do, but you never went for? Like, and this could be, you know, anything. We're talking pie in the sky.
Again, because I like doing and like seeing output. And I also, as I mentioned earlier, like want a home.
Right, yeah. Because you grew up in that hovel at the end of the
cul-de-sac.
In Oxfordshire. Yeah. Yes. That horrific semi-detached.
Yeah. Just walking into Toys R Us. I just want a home.
I just want a home. I would love to be a carpenter.
Oh, rogue.
I'd love to be
wow.
a carpenter.
Wow. Oh my God, my childhood crush was on a carpenter.
Yeah, makes sense.
He was
sense.
Like the
was
dad.
It Jesus?
No, but I know what you mean. Up there fucking against
those ribs, am I right?
I was raised Catholic, so I was staring at that man shirtless. Not
all
even shirtless,
puberty.
In a fucking loincloth.
Yeah.
Straddling. And it was so like seductive. Sure, there's nails, but like... seductively like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh God, he's in pain. There's crown of thorns, blood pouring down his face.
But he's draped.
Abs.
Yeah.
He had abs. Yeah. No, it was a family I used to babysit for. Oh, it was, and I really did fancy. I still am like, yeah. because he was a carpenter, which is like the sexiest thing in the world.
Sexiest
like,
thing in
so
the world.
You're doing shit with your hands. It's so practical. It's okay. He built the our kitchen in our house.
See?
But his wife had like a corporate.
Oh, I had a wife.
I know.
Boo.
Oh, lovely woman. Anyways, she had like a corporate office job. I don't even remember what she did, but she was in an office and stuff. But his work shed was like by the house. So he was the hands-on parent. So he did all school drop-offs, pickups. He coached the football team. So like I babysat for them, right? Because he had all boys, they were younger than me. Until he was the one who was like, Catherine, would you come back? Like he organized, he did the food, he did the cooking. So he was like this like incredibly masculine man, like very kind, very charming, very funny, whatever else. But also like could do this, like could build shit. Anyways, I won't say his name. But Mr. Woods, if you're listening. That was the other thing. His name was Wood and he was a carpenter.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I know, I shouldn't name people, but I don't care.
I just...
But you wanted to be a carpenter.
I did. Well, I've just thought of a story that we could not put on this, but I would put behind the Patreon.
Okay, great. I love how you're literally running our business.
You're already...
You're like, this business. You can make money from. Yeah. So here I'm going to give it to you.
Because I can't say it on... But I will say on the Patreon.
Okay, great. We're going to leave a little pause here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this story will be cut out. Yeah. Yeah. Apologies.
Soz.
And I don't... I think we're making a Patreon. Emily's decided.
We are. Well, it may or may not be a Patreon, but there will be paid for bonus content.
Yes. Either that you can sign up to the Patreon or you can Venmo me a $5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Slide in the DMs and just ask us.
Okay. And also, when we come back into the podcast, we're going to do like a big reaction.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. And okay.
Cucked.
Whoa!
I can't believe you told us that.
I can't believe you told us that.
Genuinely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And slightly faking the big reaction to come back to the pod, but let me tell you something. Pay for the Patreon. Pay for the Patreon. Or whatever subscription service we do. It's a good story.
I'm going to say that is the launch for the Patreon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that I get 50% of first month signups.
Fuck it! We should have known! We should have known who we were getting into that bit. God damn it.
Because I am going to let you use that story, but I feel
gonna
weird.
We're going to somehow start a podcast and Emily's going to make money and neither of us are. That's what's going to happen.
I will get my fucking bag. Do you want me to explain the carpentry thing?
Yeah,
that's how we got onto this.
I just want to be able to make. I want to be able to see something and make it. I watch so much like Grand Designs type things, but also like small spaces. Another thing I got really hooked on when I was younger was like van life. I was like, well, I'll have more money if I just live in a van. So I was like, how do you deck out a van and make it perfect? You build it yourself. How do you keep the cost down? You build it with your own hands. And I just love the idea of being able to create multi-purpose furnishings that are custom for a space.
Okay. Oh yeah, wow. I do love that.
Yeah.
I would love the idea. Yeah.
I mean, I love it. I love to... But I do, I am very practical. I think I'd like to be able to do carpentry, but I also just find nothing more fit than the concept of, but like, I think like a trade is just incredibly attractive.
Yeah.
Like a real skill.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, oh, sorry, what's that? You're an expert at Excel. Get fucked. Like, yeah. I...
Post-apocalyptic.
Oh, I'm an
cachet.
AI. I'm a project man. Yeah. Fuck off. I want a man who is a plumber. I want a man who's an electrician, a carpenter, or like... A farrier? Do you know what a farrier is?
No.
Someone who shoes horses. And okay. I used to work on a horse farm. Horses.
This is very niche for cats.
Yeah, I'm from Kildare. I used to work on a horse farm. But like something like that. You know what I mean? Like some manual skill. Because also AI is going to take over all your little Excel sheet jobs. So I'm like, I don't see AI fixing the sink.
No, not yet.
Right? I don't see AI building a cupboard yet. Don't talk to me about 3D printers. We're not there. But yeah.
Grant.
So I agree.
Next question?
Yeah, next question.
Because I mean, that question really took us to a place I wasn't expecting.
No.
You're welcome.
Actually, speaking of weird things that we didn't expect.
Yeah. What is the weirdest thing someone has said to you in work while you've been at work?
So this kind of ties in to another one of your lovely questions. It's kind of be both.
Okay, great.
Which is what's the worst person you've worked with or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The worst colleague. Yeah.
Which is so unsurprisingly, I worked at a bank.
Do you know what? I didn't know that. And yet the most logical outcome.
Makes perfect.
Yeah.
You're like, where's the money?
Where's the money?
I mean, let me go straight to the source.
Dropped out of school, did an apprenticeship in the bank.
Because school was only a means to commerce.
Yes.
So you just were like, fuck this.
Yes.
Right. I didn't know banks did apprenticeships.
Yeah, they do. They pay the best because I got offered 2 apprenticeships and I went with the one that paid me the most. Yeah.
Of course you did.
I did an apprenticeship.
I sound like an awful person.
My apprenticeship, it paid me £2.68 an hour.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. So Emily did well with the bank one. Mine was in art. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mine was, that was minimum apprenticeship wage that year.
Yeah, mine was well above the minimum. I think I got 17K.
Jesus.
An hour?
Yeah.
So you were an apprenticeship in the bank.
I was an apprenticeship in a bank. Where was I going? Oh, yes. I did an apprenticeship in the bank. 0 out of 10 would not recommend.
Right.
awful for my mental health. Excellent for my wallet. And I started off in an office dealing with like businesses, and then I moved into personal banking.
Okay, so you weren't like in a branch.
So I then went to a branch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when I was at the branch, there was a girl who joined as an apprentice at the branch.
Okay.
And she was one of the thickest people I've ever met in my entire life. Yeah, bless her. And like, she was a bit older than me. And like, but was just kind of quite childish.
Right.
And like, and I just couldn't really figure out. And she just would say things. And anyway, one day she'd moved to Oxford for this apprenticship.
Oh, wow.
Which
okay.
is odd. Like, yeah. I think from like a bigger city. She'd moved to Oxford for this apprenticeship. I was like, what are you running from?
Yeah.
what have you done?
Yeah.
So... Then one day we were on the tills, we were like counting money or whatever, and we were just making conversation, and she was like chatting. She was chatty and very nice and sweet or whatever.
Oh, well, yeah, dumb people are.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Generally are quite sweet, you know what I mean?
And she was like asking me about what it was like to grow up in Oxford and blah, blah, blah. And she said, oh, Emily, how many black people are there in Oxford?
How many black people are there in Oxford?
Like I had a list.
Like I was you just knew about to say, like you'd got the census figures there on you. Well, you would attend the meetings,
yeah.
Surely.
Which is literally what I said. I was like, oh, well, I'll have a head count at the next meeting.
No, don't.
And she thought I was being genuine.
Oh my God. No, that's actually a level of stupidity I can genuinely get behind. I love, no, come on. No, oh, no. We've got to, no, I love that's... pick people. Because here's the thing. You gotta think, right? Do you know every now and again when you're having like a horrific mental health day,
yeah.
You realise, God, it'd be a nice holiday living in that head. Do you know where like,
oh, yeah, that's
there's
true.
Not that much going
not,
on.
There's not a lot
that,
rattling that, around.
I actually
yeah.
quite like to sort of fantasise about living in a head that's just that fucking clear of any coherent thoughts.
That's something I've been trying to do this year. Is just
dumb
like,
yourself down.
Dumb myself down, being like, well, if someone else isn't worried about it, I won't worry about
everyone
it.
Everyone says overthinking's bad. That girl's underthinking.
Underthinking.
She's doing it.
That is, that's a true
also,
mental health
it's
queen.
One of those where you're like.
a little bit racist.
Well,
a
no, racist, but this is what I. Not. But what I'd almost say, her being like, how many black people in Oxford are you like racist? You go, I must check at the next meeting. And her going, there's a meeting.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God, you're not even racist.
No.
No.
You know,
and so you're like, oh, it's actually not. Like she's, because actually racism requires, like, it is a lack of information and complete stupidity and stuff. But it requires some level of like thought.
Yeah.
And some level of like opinion and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's
or like
below
a
that.
And like a feeling. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you don't
yeah.
know where it's coming from, racism requires like a other.
Yeah.
Whereas that
it requires a world view. And that
yes.
girl doesn't have a view.
Do you want to know the best part?
She's in a windowless room.
Do you want to know the best part?
Go yeah, on.
She was South Asian. She wasn't white.
See what I mean? The girl's not racist. She's just thick as fuck. That is such a delicious story. Wait, what did she actually say when you said, oh, I must check at the next meeting?
She was just like, oh, okay.
And then when she next saw you, was she like waiting for her numbers?
Oh, I was then, I corrected her. I was like,
oh, okay.
Oh. There isn't a meeting. And she was like, oh, and I was like, that's a weird thing to say. And she was like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
It was a lot of, oh, okay.
It's a blank canvas you're dealing
yeah,
with at that
it was
stage.
There was not
yeah,
a
you're helping
oh
grow of a person.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I honestly would say that's one of the best things that has
yeah,
probably been said to you.
It could go
to
either
fair.
Way.
Yeah.
That's delicious. Oh, just I imagine her being like, oh, great, let me know. She's sitting there being like, oh, I must ask me. Oh, yeah. Also, I'm like, what? Bless her. Like what? What's the want behind that? Like, I feel like as well, again, like a general person going like, how many black people are in Oxford?
Yeah.
They're trying to get a gauge. They don't like, you know,
yeah.
you're anticipating. They want to know like how wide or not. For her, I'm like, no, why why do you want to know how many black people are in Oxford? Because I'm absolutely certain the reasoning behind it, or whatever the thought process is like something, again, brilliantly fucking insanely stupid.
She might be doing the reverse and being like, I haven't seen very many black people.
Yeah, or some, yeah.
Right, yeah.
To be fair, there's not loads, well, in case you're wondering.
In fairness, you have yet to answer the question. How many black people are in Oxford?
Okay, so there is me, my mum and my brother.
Right.
And my Uncle Paul. My nana died this year, so that's four.
We're down in numbers. Can you get a quorum? Yeah. Oh God, I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah, bless her. I wonder what she's doing now.
She's not working for the bank. She got fired.
Are we surprised?
She lost her apprenticeship at the bank.
Yeah, the apprenticeship, you're supposed to be learning how to do the job. Like, it's okay.
Wait,
for you
but
to
why
be
did she learn it? Just because they were like, we cannot.
I think what it was. Because I
she's too busy counting people as
I
they come in.
I got her fired because, but by accident, because right. I didn't realise. So she was doing like a level 3 apprenticeship, which was like the equivalent of A levels.
Okay.
And we'd be together a lot, so we're both new and like chatting and stuff. And she was like, "Oh, when I was at uni, blah 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 blah." And I was like, "You've been to university?" And she was like, "Yeah, I blah 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 blah." Obviously, bless her. And if you've done a uni course, you're not allowed to do a level 3 apprenticeship.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't get the same kind of funding.
What if you drop out of uni?
It's the thing of like apprenticeships are open to people who don't have university qualifications to get them into workplaces where you might need a uni qualification.
Okay.
So they're entry level jobs for people who weren't able to go to uni.
Okay. Yeah. And she would have like... The bank was gagging for people. Like, she could have just gotten a job there, like the same job I had.
Right.
Because I've been on an apprenticeship previously and then I moved to a job as like a cashier or whatever. She could have just done that. But I was then chatting to my manager and was like, blah, 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 blah. She said she was at uni and my manager was like, uni? And I was like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then like a couple weeks later, I was like, where's what's her face? And my manager was like, oh, she's gone. And like looked down at the floor and like another lady who I worked with.
R.I.P.
Called Roisin, who was incredible and fantastic and I love her. And she was like to my manager, it's okay. She lied and like patted my manager.
Oh, the manager had to pin her
off. Bad, yeah.
Oh no, it was Emily who did it the whole time.
Yeah, and then I sort of was like, I think I got fired.
Yeah.
But she did lie, so yeah.
Also, if she couldn't, bless her, she couldn't remember her lie.
Yeah.
Emily.
Yeah.
Emily, mean girl.
What am I like?
What is, okay, the weirdest workplace rule? Like, because that's, like, then, I also think, like, I get that it's probably a funding thing that she wasn't allowed to work there because if she'd been to uni. The girl clearly wasn't able for uni if she could barely fucking hold down an apprenticeship in a bank, right? So, like, just let her off. Do you know what I mean? Put her in the back somewhere.
Yeah.
Get her to move boxes. I don't know.
Well, we had a massive safe with, like, at one point, a million actual quid in it. I remember going downstairs.
Emily counted that.
I did.
Not the black people in Oxford, but she did a good count.
One, every penny. Two, three. And so there was a lot of money to be... There was manual labour to be done, is my point.
Yeah, yeah.
There was physical moving of cash.
We could have given her something. She forget where she put it. But what is the weirdest workplace rule that you've ever had to follow?
So this isn't... Well, so... I really hated... This is at the bank again.
Okay.
I really hated the fucking uniforms they put us in.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like this horrible polyester-y, like just gross. And they were really gendered.
Okay.
And so the guys would have like proper tie, shirt, and like suit. And then we could have trousers, but we had these like weird blouse things, like shirts. And then we would have to have like a scarf. So the men would have like a coloured, a coloured tie in the colours. Whereas we'd have a scarf with the colours on and then also like the logo on. And I was like, and it would just look stupid.
And
I hated it so much. And I brought it up to a couple managers being like, can I just wear one of the men's ties?
Yeah.
And everybody was like,
and you
no.
look so good in one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason I've worn it today.
Yeah.
To demonstrate.
That it would have been fine.
It would have been, nothing would have happened. And I was like, really? I'd brought it up to a couple managers and they'd just been like, no, you can't do that. And I was just like, but why? In the way that you do when you're in your early 20s. You're like, but why? There's no reason, the system. And to be fair, true. But like, I could have put my energy into something else. But yeah, I was... chatting. I chat to multiple of my managers, and then one day there was like a higher up who was coming around, and my manager was showing him around, and he came down to the kitchen while I was having lunch, and she was like, "Oh, hi, this is Emily. Emily, this is what's his face." And I was just got chatting to him, and I was like, "Now's my time.
I'm gonna make a change.
I'm gonna make a change.
Make a change. Once in my life." Yeah, yeah. You were channeling MJ, of course.
Yeah. In that one way.
Yeah, yes.
and none others.
No. Also, I liked it. I was like, "Yeah, social change," and I went to Michael Jackson. I weirdly know. So it was the song. I'd like to clarify it was the song. Yeah.
I can't think of any other songs about I'm going through changes.
There's a lot. There's Audrey. There's loads. Yeah.
So that really was a choice by you.
We could do. Yeah. Way better people, to be honest with you. 10 out of 10 better. Honestly, he was probably the worst. But anyways, you were standing there trying to make a change.
I was standing there trying to make a change. I was like, it's my moment. So I got him feeling comfortable, little chat. And I was like, "Hi, I wondered whether I could ask you a question." He was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay, so I want to wear a tie. Can I wear a tie? Because I don't understand why we have to wear scarves. Like, it's the same thing. I still have something around my neck with the branding on, like with the logo on and the colors. Like, I really don't like the stupid scarves." And he was like, "No, you know, waffle, whatever." The same thing my manager had parroted to me before. And then I was just like, "Okay, but like, what if somebody was like non-binary or gender non-conforming? What would you do then?" This is in like, I don't know, 2015 or something.
Right.
So I'm like really ahead of the curve, guys.
Yeah. She's on the ground floor.
The gender locking in. I don't know whether you've heard of this band.
But also, I'm assuming this is like a middle-aged man.
Yes.
Right.
He must have been like in his 50s.
Right.
And I've never seen anybody you broke look his more brain. Scared.
Yeah.
He was like, "I don't. We'd have to deal with that on a case by case basis." And then he left. Yeah.
Like, and my manager ran away.
Just looked at me like, "For fuck's sake." We're here to like show off our branch.
Yeah.
And you're here being like, "But what about gender? I don't like the scarf."
We do the money. We're bad people.
Exactly. We're bad people. Wear your stupid scarf. You're a bad person now. Yeah. I'm like, "I want a bad tie."
Also, why wouldn't they just let you wear the tie?
Don't know.
It's such a minor thing. Yeah. And in some ways, a scarf is a tie.
Yes.
And a tie is a scarf. And it's just about how you put it around your neck.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So like, who cares?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. In hindsight, right, what job of all the many commerces and businesses and jobs, apprenticeships you've done, which one would you say has been like the most useful to you like now in life? Like, where did you learn like the most skills? It could be any.
Which is so hard because you've done so many things.
I was
going
to say, you've done so many things. You've had so many hustles.
Yeah, I haven't.
Maybe it's that one conversation with John that's just really...
I genuinely think it probably is that. It's probably that one conversation with my dad, because that really did cement my attitude towards like money.
There's one thing and that's it. Is your dad like a big saver?
Well, he wanted to be more of a saver, and I think that's it.
Wait, what does your dad do? Is your dad a businessman?
No. Okay. This sounds like a fake job. He's a laser service technician.
Wow.
Nice.
So like there are scientific lasers in physics departments all across the UK.
Oh, okay.
And he basically, in the same way that if you have a printer in an office, you call the printer guy in. He's the printer guy, but for lasers.
Right. Oh, like, that's really fucking cool. Yeah. That's really fun. That's class.
I'm always like, "Oh, it's cool." And he's like, "So boring."
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But yeah. So that's what he does. And he's like the one of the only people who does it in the UK.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, niche.
Yeah.
But that conversation with him, it feels like it is segmented for you. Like, "Oh, if I want comfort," well, not comfort, but like "I want to be in a position where I'm not worried about this." And later on,
I think it was just like, "I want to be able to do what I want to do."
Yeah.
And the way to, and I think I've always seen that the way to do that was money. And also like my Nana and Pappy like came over from the Caribbean, like post Windrush, and they always had like loads of jobs, and they like looked after me when my mum went back to work. And my Nana did loads of stuff, did cleaning, like fostering. She encouraged all her kids to have lots of jobs.
Yes.
Like all of that kind of stuff. Like my mum and all her siblings have always worked. My dad's always worked as well from a young age, like doing like paper round and all of that stuff. Yeah. So it's always been, and it was always drilled into me that like rent is throwing money away, which is not how it works in this economy. Okay. Because we must have places to live.
Yes.
So I was always like, well, I'm going to save and I'm going to have like a nest egg and I'm going to like buy a home and blah, 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 and all of this stuff. So I was, always had this like quite particular view of money and this particular view of life that led me to, so probably that one conversation with my dad.
But you are also, even though like that can feel quite cynical of being like, oh, you just need money, you just need money. You're also like from Limerick, you are someone who makes sure that you live your life in a way that you want to and comfortably and you enjoy things and you have your indulgences because you're like, because that's what you want. You've secured that for yourself.
Yes, I would say so. Do you want to tell them about all the cans?
There was a conversation that I had to have with Emily at one point where I'm like, you are stocking up too much. But Emily likes to have an extra sauce and an extra things like the next one ready. So it's never a position where she's like, I don't with have
you. You like to be prepared.
Like to have
you
stuff.
Don't want
to
be left unprepared. But I was going to say, like, yeah, I remember like my impression of you before this. Obviously, I kind of knew about like your like you being good with the money, I would say. But like, I know you to have like, I immediately think of your amazing coat that I love, the reversible coat. But I'm like, you will spend money on nice things. You're God, not like, I would, maybe it's frugal, but you're not tight. Is
yes,
that right?
I'm frugal, but not
you
tight.
You like will spend money and enjoy your money.
Oh, yeah. I only have £40 in my bank account because I spent all my money in Vietnam.
Having a lovely holiday.
By having a lovely holiday and getting this skirt bent.
So it's like a good relationship, which is
I would say so. Like I buy a lot of stuff secondhand, like you do. Like, but also, if I want something and it's nice, then I will have it. And I like buy, you know, nice cheese and stuff sometimes.
I love it. Emily, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
That
was a wild episode. I honestly think this is the most like business-based episode. Like for a podcast around jobs, there is literally none that we've had that have been so, I would say, commerce.
Also, most successful because normally we're like, oh, I entered this job and like, oh, what did I do? Oh, this was a mistake. This was silly. And you're like, no, everything, I made money.
I bossed out. I made money.
I did. I do. I shall.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
Bye.
Thanks for having me.
Us again at the end of the podcast. Just to remind you, we've got our Patreon if you want that spicy Emily content. So sign up if you'd like it.
You want that extra content.
Or if you just want the extra content of listening to us chit-chat for 15 minutes on Wednesdays, sign up for free for that. And our show! Book tickets for our show.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you again to the wonderful Emily Bampton. And we will listen to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.